Welcome to the Grace Hour Show. It's a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us learn our faith in a practical way. It is a nice new bumper music that we're playing, and we have a new combination here on the Grace Hour Show. I'm glad to be joined again by Pastor Justin Schaller. I'm Pastor Barry Quirk, and we're in the studio today. And today we are talking about a subject that I think is very valuable. We are talking about rest.
Yes.
And God's design for rest. You know, this week, the title of the subjects for the week is Rest for the Weary. And we could all use a little rest.
Sure, I could use some right now.
You could use some now. I was just saying that my wife has been in California this weekend, and I'm a 4 hour, maybe 5 hour a night.
I don't know how you do that.
You know, I don't either. And I asked the doctor, "Is that okay? Is everything all right?" And he just said, "You're a freak." So that was good enough for me. But forever, I've lived on four.
Even
hours
when you were
sleep.
A kid,
as long as I can remember. And that was a long time ago, so it might have been different.
I mean,
when
you
I was
get a lot
kid.
Done. If you only sleep 4 hours a night. You got 20 hours. What are you doing with yourself?
You know what? Now I'm feeling condemned. But so my wife's in California, and I have been sleeping like seven and a half hours a night, and mm-hmm. I don't know how to break it to her. Honey, I'm sorry if you're hearing this, but I've been sleeping like a baby this week. So, no, I just think the quietness in the house has been – it's been nice. But actually, rest is something – there's really – a few practical aspects of rest that we can think about. Of course, there's a spiritual aspect, and mm-hmm. you preached a great message last night from 2 Peter, and being a house built unto the Lord, and how obedience really plays a part in that. You know, I think we can kind of get caught up in this thing that rest is like just this passive nothingness, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not. It's actually obedience to God plays a big part in it, and then there's also physical rest that's important, as mm-hmm. as we know, and one of the great things about not requiring so much sleep is that you have things to do, but then when you sit down in the middle of the afternoon, mm-hmm. boy, that could be dangerous. Just for a short period, it could be dangerous. And then just spiritual rest, like our minds in today's society, you know, we know that people really struggle with a lot of mental health issues mm-hmm. and legitimately so because of all the stimulus that's in the atmosphere and the identity that's been forced upon people. And, you know, can we find a place of rest mm-hmm. from the noise, right? The cosmic noise. Your dad preached an awesome message series on that, mm-hmm. you know, just cosmic noise that just distracts us. So. Rest is a great subject, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you deal with it in your ministry from all aspects, needing rest yourself, mm-hmm. And also speaking to people who are in dire need of rest. Mm-hmm. So good to be with you this morning,
yeah,
Pastor Justin.
Yeah, you as well.
And what do you think on the topic?
I mean, I think it's broad in a lot of different ways. Scripture has a lot to say about it. I mean, to think that God created 7 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. Mm-hmm. I think we think of God, and he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and you think if you have an all-powerful being, like, what's the idea that an all-powerful being is going to take a day and actually going to rest? But I think he's saying that we're image bearers of him, yep. and so we should follow the lead that he's created us in a certain way so that from a physical standpoint, obviously, he gives us rest every single night. He gives his beloved sleep. It's part of like our physical life, but I think deeper in a spiritual sense, he wants us to understand that life should be one that we have a lot to do, and he's asked us to be partakers with him in whatever his work is, but at the same time, part of the work is to be able to learn how to quiet yourself down and mm-hmm. be able to reflect and to enjoy. Because mm-hmm. I think ultimately the idea of Sabbath is that we get to enjoy who he is.
Yeah.
And to be able, as human beings, we have the ability to contemplate and to think. And that's actually quite enjoyable if we learn how to do it the proper way. But obviously society and the world has a different standard of what rest is. And we've been trained just as unbelievers, and now as believers, we still kind of have the patterns of what the world would call rest.
Yeah.
And it's much different than what God actually has for us and what he's designed us for.
Yeah, I think there's actually, it's alluded to, and I can't remember the exact portion, whether it's Deuteronomy, there's somewhere in the Old Testament that the wicked consider rest when they can hide from their slave master, or they, you know, can be clandestinely joined together with other people who are fellowshipping in their wickedness. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, we are people who understand that God, first of all, to go back to the garden, I mean, into the creation story, when God rests, right? Of course God can do anything. He created the world. He doesn't need a rest, but he did want to demonstrate for us something about having a rest. And that rest, in that sense, you know, Joshua leading the nation of Israel into Canaan, and then also at some point us being led into eternal rest. It's all a pattern, right? And it's all his demonstration of rest started from instruction. Mm-hmm. And we are not God. And actually, even in our ministry, you know, I remember Pastor Stevens preaching about studying to the point of exhaustion, you know, and that was his MO. And, and you prepare for messages, and there's days that go into it, and you're really given to it. And I think that Greek word kopiao, I think it is just working to the point of exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, we have to understand that, that's awesome. Like, we are given to the ministry. Mm-hmm. But also there's a retreat that happens, right? There's a retreat from endless study, endless going, where you have to pull back because we're not God. Mm-hmm. We have to pull back and be able to say, okay, I need to rest, but that rest can still have purpose. Mm-hmm. And this is something I think I like about the balance we have in our ministry. I just mentioned you played a little golf this week. Mm-hmm. That was restful for you, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Right?
Good time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, physically it's demanding, especially the amount of holes that you played. Not revealing anything.
Not for me. I could have done another 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's something that you find you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. But also, you know that if you were to do that every day, your ministry would suffer, right? But there are times when you can steal away and you can say, this is dedicated for that, and it's not a godless activity, right? And this is the kind of the balance I'm thinking about. Somebody who might be listening to the show going, rest, what does rest mean? You're going to tell me how much sleep to get, or, you know, how my mental health should be. But really saying, find your balance in God, right? And have God be the one who leads you in your daily activities. Like, what does your daily, when you have a day of rest, what does it look like? What's a day of rest look like for you?
The interesting thing about rest is, like what you're saying, it's different for other people, and then it's also different from what the world says rest is. So, like, let's just think in the sense of the Sabbath. Like, Jesus had serious issues with the Pharisees because they actually were saying that man was made for the Sabbath, that the Sabbath was a law that God brought in and man had to live up to it, and they completely construed it so that the day that the Jews had to live with every single day was actually the hardest day of the week because there were so many stipulations, so many rules. But God created it so that we could actually enjoy it. I would say in our world, let's just say, just off the top of our head in the sense of what people kind of see rest as, it could be watching TV. It could be just an activity in the sense that I have one day off and I got to pack it out and I got to fill it up with so many different things that I want to do, which is okay to a certain extent. If I just take that day and I could just say there are sometimes that I feel as though that I could do an activity and I feel actually drained after it. But God has different ways to be able to recharge our batteries that on the outside would look as though that it wouldn't be so restful. But I actually find as though that for my soul, that's what actually recharges me. For example, going on a trip, like a missions trip, I went to India back in May. Pastor Bailey and I went there and we did a conference for 10 days in Bangalore and then Mumbai. I mean, I felt physically, you know, you're a little bit tired at the end of it. You don't get a ton of sleep and all that kind of stuff. But spiritually, I felt so energized. I mean, I felt so encouraged. On the outside, people are going to be like, oh, it's a long trip. Aren't you so tired? Yeah, physically, okay, maybe a little bit. But my dad always used to say, it's amazing you can run really hard for a couple of weeks and you just get one night of rest and physically you're restored again. Yeah. But spiritually speaking, on the outside, that wouldn't look as – it would look like it would be a draining activity, but I felt the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Spending time just in the Word for me – it can be on the outside, mentally, you know, draining in the sense that you're reading and all those sorts of things. But at the end of it, I feel very much at rest. Mm-hmm. Paul says to Timothy that God's given us all things to enjoy. So what you enjoy and what I enjoy can be very different. But doing certain things, just normal activities, like for me, I like to play golf. I mean, growing up for me, I always played golf. When I went to Peru, it was the first time in my life that I wasn't holding a golf club in my hand. This is just kind of like something simple and silly sure. that maybe people are listening to. But for me, like I would go to the driving range and I could hit golf balls for like 2 hours, like no problem. And it was activity that was like stimulating for me because I'm thinking about what my body's doing. I'm thinking about what the golf ball's doing. I'm working on my golf swing. Mm-hmm. Somewhat of a kind of like flow state for me. Like a flow state is something where you kind of get immersed in an activity and you forget about time completely and you're completely engaged in the activity that you're doing. It's like a flow state. It's actually like the best state that you can be in. Mm. When I would do that, when I would leave, I would always kind of feel refreshed if I hit the golf ball good. Yeah. But I would feel refreshed. It was an activity that I can completely – I wasn't thinking about what I'm going to be doing after. I wasn't thinking about what I was doing before. I was completely focused solely on that activity. And there's certain things that I just do myself just that are like little extracurricular things that I enjoy doing to be able to get into that kind of like state of mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in that state of mind, it's like very enjoyable and very relaxing for me. Some people like to paint. Some people like to draw. Some people like to read. Some people like to do puzzles, whatever it might be. I think those types of things are very important because I can't, for me, I can't just study like nonstop, like day after day after day after day. I need some sort of break that takes my mind away from that. Yeah. And I would say one thing with rest is that I'm resting for a purpose. Mm. I'm resting so that then I can go back into what my normal week to week looks like and I'll be more refreshed, more engaged, and I can go back into it. So finding that balance in life and finding whatever can kind of put you into that somewhat of a relaxed state, like a flow state is actually a very relaxed state that your mind can kind of be at ease. And also you're doing something that you have the skill set to be able to do. It doesn't bring a level of frustration, but it's somewhat of a demanding thing that you're doing, but you have the ability to kind of actually execute it is actually a very good state of mind to be in. I know that might sound wordy to everybody and people are like, what are you talking about? But
no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. So there's a big difference between rest and sublimation. Mm-hmm. Because sublimation is I'm taking my mind off of something mm-hmm. and putting it on something else, but I'm not really dealing with, you know, putting myself in a place where I'm ready to go back to address it. It's that I'm replacing it with another activity when I maybe should or shouldn't be. And that's why even things that could be healthy could become sublimation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know if I listen to gospel music, that's awesome. If I listen to gospel music nonstop and I don't read the word, mm-hmm. that balance doesn't help me spiritually, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I get some feeding from the song, mm-hmm. but I'm not getting the word. And I think there's really three big areas, right, that we're talking about. It's physically, spiritually, and mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think they're interrelated. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you're physically exhausted, mm-hmm. then it's really tough to have your mind sharp to mm-hmm. read the word, and mm-hmm. it's going to affect you spiritually.
For sure.
So it's there is a pause, right? There's this beautiful pause that we can take, the Selah, mm-hmm. where we just stop and we reflect. And mm-hmm. I even like, you know, in my reading, sometimes I have to, if I'm driven to read, you know, if I'm on my Bible program and I say, I got 5 books I got to read today mm-hmm. and I'm going at it, I have to stop sometimes and go, what did I read? Mm-hmm. What is it saying? Mm-hmm. You know, where is, and there is a rest in that, mm-hmm. you know, and just saying, okay, let's pause for a moment. And, I like that you're talking about it's rest for a purpose. It's mm-hmm. rest so that it's recovery, in mm-hmm. other words, mm-hmm. versus sublimation. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important point for young believers, especially who tend to jump into a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know, and I think later in life you realize, I'm not capable of doing all those things. You know, mm. I can't play 36 holes of golf anymore.
Yeah, you
like
could. Yeah, you could.
All right, I probably could. But but I'm just saying without the pain that, you know, like at 21, you could play all day. I remember we played softball tournaments, 7 games in a day.
Yeah.
And you're not even thinking about it. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, I get leg cramps from thinking about that right now. But that's how life works. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things, they bring – you know, we could jump into things. You could get burnt out because you're maybe not prioritizing the pause, mm-hmm. the physical rest, the spiritual. And how about the Lord gets into his, you know, he goes alone mm-hmm. to be refreshed by the Father, mm-hmm. right? And we think about John chapter 12 and 13 and the awesome messages about the towel, the table. Mm-hmm. You know, just thinking about,
towel, table, closet.
Yeah, the closet, the towel, the table. So the closet is where Jesus is just hearing from his Father, mm-hmm. right? And then he goes to the table and he's ministering what he's received, mm-hmm. and it results in his service, serving them by love.
Right.
So you take away the closet and you don't have the towel on the table, mm-hmm. right? And the closet is the part where I'm just withdrawing a little bit and I'm alone before the Lord. But those things can be affected by rest, mm-hmm. you know, and if we're quiet before the Lord, and I love the thought of sometimes rest is like you're just buried in the scripture and you're pouring through and it's beautiful and it's speaking to you loudly. And other times we're just quiet before the Lord in prayer, you know, and other times we're just meditating. We're out at a bench just mm-hmm. sitting, looking at nature going, oh, my Lord, you have created everything according to your order. And this is incredible. Like, refurbish me, refresh me, you know, give me the renewing of my mind that Romans talks about. So, it's a great topic because I think we are designed, as you said, 7 days creation, 7th day is rest, right? He gives us sleep every night, right? We need sleep every night. And I had a real understanding of how lack of sleep can affect your mental health. Like, I've prided myself on being the guy that was like emotionally immovable. Mm-hmm. I don't cry except when the Red Sox won the World Series after 86 years. I mean, honestly, I, you know, just being a stable guy. And
you didn't even cry when Kendall was born, but you cried because
the Sox
won.
There might have been a tear or two. There was a lot of knee knocking, I'll tell you that. I almost fainted going, oh my gosh, this is human life. What do I got to do with this?
Wasn't that like when your child was born, just all the stereotypical things that people say, and then it happens, and then people say, what was it like? And you're just like, I have to say the platitude.
Yeah.
It was the most amazing day of my life. Like, you just want to be unique and saying something new, but you're like, oh, the people are actually right. Like, all those platitudes
are incredible.
So
yeah. It's incredible. And I remember the doctor saying, okay, Mr. Quirk, you're going to cut the cord. And then he's putting his hand here and here and going, only between my hands, because he knows that I have no clue what's going on in life right now. Yeah. He's like, just press the scissors. Oh, just man. Press the scissors. Oh, man. But
how many years ago is that now?
29.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when you told me that you were going to have a child.
Yeah.
29. Okay. So I was 13 or something like that.
It's a pretty amazing time of life. And when you see how much God, you know, is revealed, like when you just see the perfectly joined fingers and yeah, there's some stories I could tell you, but I won't uncover those.
Can I say one thing too?
Yeah, please,
I would
go
just
ahead.
Say in ministry and just for everybody who's serving the Lord, I think your home life is a big one as well, that your wife, if she's on board and she knows you and she knows the importance of the home and making the home a place of just rest and refuge, like my wife does an amazing job, that when you come home, you still, your work isn't done yet. Like you work all day and you come home. My dad used to say, this was great and it's been so useful for me. He said, when you get to the door after a long day and you get to the door, you still know that your job's not done yet. And you just ask the Lord, Lord, just give me the strength and just give me an attitude of joy when I come into the house, because we know that we're the tone setters when we come home and we can set the atmosphere. And when you have a house that's set up that you're able to relax and enjoy your kids and enjoy your wife, that is such a huge part of what we do just day to day, like just say in the sense of pastoring, that if you had a home that was a home of chaos, and I mean, it can be, I mean, and there, I'm sure there's some people that their house is maybe a house and there's issues and there's problems. And there's going to be that for me, for sure, in the future, just raising kids in general. But overall, if your house can be a place where you can come and you can just enjoy your kids and have fun, your son wants to wrestle with you, and you can just play. I mean, I think that's just a huge thing, because we do deal with serious things. I mean, we're preaching about serious things.
Yeah.
And we have an attitude of joy when we're doing that as well. But I mean, you're dealing with people's issues. You're dealing with people's problems. You just get off the phone with someone, or you have a counseling session, or whatever it might be. It can be very heavy. But if you can have a house where you come in and it's a house of play, and you have a good time with your family, that is like a huge refresher for us, that we can kind of separate ourselves from the pastoral ministry and we can just be dad, we can just be husband, we can just have a good time and we can have a lot of fun. And I do think it's also important, like I was telling you before we started, like I have a group of guys that are good friends. We go out and play golf and we just joke around and we're just giggling like the whole time, and we're competing against each other. Like that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think having relationships where you can just be with friends and just laugh and just have, you know, just have a good time.
Yes.
And an enjoyable time. And I know some people maybe don't have those types of relationships. But just try to find enjoyment with other people. And that is like a huge refresher. That's like being with you. Like if I'm with you and we're just driving around, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. I think the body of Christ is a huge place of rest, right? Like we have friends, as you said, that we have friends that when we fellowship, we leave there, it feels clean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we've been in those relationships where you leave and you just feel burdened by what just got said, or what's the, you know, what was I left with? I was left with, oh my gosh, this, you know, like the talk about trouble, or, you know, just natural thinking. Mm-hmm. Like it's so refreshing to be with somebody and just, not that you're walking around, you know, so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, but that you are, we're contemplating things that are important, right? We're talking about, and fellowship is a part of that. I was thinking, you know, if we were to say, what are some things that a believer can do to find rest? First of all, we know that the rest is, you know, in the Old Testament, the rest was a very tangible, real place. Enter into my rest, the Canaan land, and what went on with that. And then also significant, because it was alluding to what the rest that happens for everlasting life. And of course, the New Testament, Christ comes and brings us salvation. And in the book of Hebrews, that rest remains, right? And yet we're told to live in fear, right? To live in fear lest the promises that we have, you know, that we would lose that. And of course, we're not talking about the loss of salvation, but losing the person of God, the fellowship of God in our relationships, right? And I love that you can have people that you can go out and do an activity that isn't necessarily in the Bible. You know, you don't see 13th tee in Acts chapter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that time that you're spending, you're edified, because you're not, you know, you're not losing your identity as who you are in Christ, but you're just enjoying fellowship with others and their portions in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a, you know, this whole principle of like objectively doing what you're doing, but subjectively we're still in the heart of God. We're still in the plan of God, and we can have that as a refresher instead of something that takes away from us.
Yeah, I think having a few people in your life that edify you, there are people that you can call and you can just talk to them and you just know that you're going to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. I think there's times that we can take ourselves too seriously, and we need people that we're able to just be vulnerable with.
Yeah.
And we're able to say, hey, I'm struggling in this area, or I'm just tired. Like, I would say physical tiredness. Let's just look at that just for a second.
Yep.
Like, physical tiredness is a real thing. Mm-hmm. There can be health issues with it. Like, Martin Lloyd-Jones writes a great book. It's called Spiritual Depression. I read it years ago, and he was a medical doctor turned preacher, amazing preacher. And he said, as Christians, we can look at the problem of depression too simplistically, because we can look at it just from a spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. But he says you have to look at it multidimensional. So you have to look at it from the physical part first. Secondly, you have to look at it from an emotional standpoint, and then you have to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. We can say someone who's struggling with depression, which results in physical fatigue, we can say, oh, that's a spiritual issue. You must have sin in your life. Mm-hmm. You have to try to search it out. You have to seek, you know, just repentance and get right with God. Like, why aren't you so energetic, so excited about the mission and what you're in? So you have to look at the physical standpoint. So the physical standpoint would be, number one, your health. Do you have a disease? Are you lacking, you know, vitamins, minerals? Are you lacking actually activity? Mm. Because, you know, a body at rest is going to stay at rest. And a lot of times people that are seeking rest, they're resting and then they're resting to rest even longer. So you're never going to get out of that cycle.
Yeah.
So you have to say, okay, is there something physical with me? Is there something in my discipline, in my daily life? Do I exercise? I mean, to me, exercise is a huge thing. I realized one time when I was on a treadmill running, actually my mind works a lot better when I'm actually moving. Mm. My daughter's actually similar. Like, she's a learner that she has to be moving. Mm-hmm. I remember Gemma over in Ireland.
Yeah.
I saw her a couple years ago, and she gave me piano lessons when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And she said, you were the worst student I've ever had. She said, you couldn't sit That's still. Awesome. I go, oh, wow, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because for me, I have to be moving. My mind has to be. So physical exercise, if I don't have it, I get really sluggish.
Yeah.
And I can get lazy.
Yeah.
So I just have it in my life that every single day I have to do something physical. And I find when I do something physical, you know, physically I feel better. And then if I feel physically better, then I feel mentally sharper and I feel better. So the physical point is number one. And then emotionally, are there things in my life that are draining? And I would just say, you know, as a pastor, you're dealing with a lot of people's problems, and then all of a sudden you don't even realize, and those problems are starting to weigh you down.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, every conversation you're having is a serious conversation, and it could be a conversation that could be very light, but then all of a sudden you're bringing it to a point that it becomes even more serious than it needs to be. And you have to realize, no, wait a second, I don't have to be. I should be actually very joyful and light and playful and having a good time in this conversation instead of being so serious. So those relationships outside of, let's just say, quote unquote, ministry, or I'm counseling or preaching or teaching or just helping people, I need to have relationships that I can just be light. And if those relationships all of a sudden start to become heavy, that emotionally can be taxing for me. The other thing, am I anxious about certain things? Am I living with a lot of anxiety and I didn't realize it? What am I going to do with that? Is my prayer life one that I can start to trust the Lord? Burnout is another big one emotionally. And burnout is just people pleasing. Mm. Am I living my life just trying to please everybody? If I'm doing that, then I'm going to be burnt out. And then the last one is, from a spiritual standpoint, is there something in my life that is off and is wrong? Because David even says it in Psalm 51, where he had that unrepented sin with Bathsheba. Over a year, he says, my bones are starting to ache.
Wow.
I can't even get out of bed in the morning. Lloyd-Jones says, you could look at that as a physical ailment, but actually it's a spiritual problem. Mm. And we know if we're joyful – and we have a lot of joy and we have a lot of energy because of what we're in, what's going to happen to your physical body? You know, and like the psalmist says, I can deal with a broken physical body if I'm joyful in my soul. But if my soul is depressed, my physical body isn't going to be able to support it. Yes. So primarily the spiritual is the number one, but you have to look at it from the external and work back into where I am in my spiritual state.
Yeah, excellent, excellent points. And I started this saying this earlier, but God gave me a real understanding of this when I can't even remember the reason why, but I had a night of sleeplessness, mm-hmm. kind of just insomnia. And I think maybe something
espresso?
Happened.
The espresso at 11 p.m.?
Usually that puts me to sleep. but it was one of those things where it just, for whatever reason, mortality became like, you know, I don't know what it was, mm-hmm. but I just had been thinking about something and I thought, oh my God, like I'm going to die, you know, someday soon. And just had one of those nights where I couldn't sleep. And then fight or flight takes over. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that that had taken over. Mm-hmm. And the way I dealt with it was, well, I've always been able to sleep standing up if I need to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm finding myself out walking my dog at 3 o'clock in the morning and doing, you know, things around the house. And mm-hmm. I'm like, the more I'm doing it, I'm like, what's wrong with me? But I have energy to do it. I can't stop myself. And it was a strange feeling. But it ended up being like a 2 or 3 day period where because I lost sleep that one night and then the fight or flight is going crazy, mm-hmm. I couldn't sit in my office at the school. I was out seeing people on the bench on the outside because the walls were feeling confined. Hmm. And this is from somebody who never felt any kind of anxiety in my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why God gave me that kind of relaxed mental attitude, but mm-hmm. really. And I think part of it was for God to show me that this is a real existence for people.
Yeah.
Like they really do deal with mm-hmm. anxiety issues that become so incapacitating.
For sure.
And then you can't just throw a verse at somebody. I was listening to messages and the message was making me cringe. And I'm mm-hmm. like, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm listening to a message that would normally be like, this is cool water to my soul. Mm-hmm. I had to take the headphones off. I couldn't, I had no capacity. Turn on the television and it irritated me to the end, like just quiet. I got to be quiet. I can't. And I realized after getting some sleep and some recovery and it went away just as quickly as it came. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that happens with jet lag. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not careful about your fluids and your walking and all that, then your mental attitude gets a little out of whack.
And oh, you start, you know, I've had it before and I've seen like a lost kitten on the street when I was in a foreign country. I'm like crying. I'm like, that poor kitten. Oh, it doesn't have a home. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Oh, it's the jet lag.
Yeah. No, honestly, and you feel like I remember, you know, I had a kind of a traumatic situation. My mom passed away on the mission field and I was like a little blubbering baby after you know, wide shoulders and thick skin for everybody in my family. Mm-hmm. I was the rock of stability. And then they left and I turned into a blubbering little baby mm-hmm. for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And my wife serving me tea and Kendall's, you know, coming in and giving me love. And then like the third day I woke up and I'm like, wow, the world is a new place. And I realized I was jet lagged. Mm-hmm. So everything that you're receiving, your thinking is not correct. So, I love the rest part, you know, like just being able to, and we've seen it little short doses, like maybe just 15 minutes alone, take a little nap on the couch, but so that you keep going. Right. And, versus letting lethargy take over our lives. 'Cause this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the quickening that God brings in the restoration, and that can come through prayer. It can come through the reading of the word. It can come through our fellowship in the body, right? Like the communion that we have with God and the communion that we have with each other and the fellowship that we have with each other. And as you alluded to, a group of guys that you can go spend time with, and it might be time spent completely outside of an organized ministry event, mm-hmm. but you're on a bike ride or you're playing golf or you're doing what you're doing and you're being built up and edified by the fellowship and the laughing. And we had a, you know, pastor's conference here not long ago. And there's a ride to and a ride from. That could be either like a burden or you could say, man, I'm going to get to spend time with people I love.
Depends on who you're riding with.
It depends on who you're riding with. Yeah, we've had both kinds of trips. But, you know, it's an amazing time to
going to the pastor's conference is one of those events that Pastor Hadley said it a couple years ago in a staff meeting that I happened to be at. And he gave this great analogy, just a classic Pastor Hadley analogy that sticks with you. And he said that he was cutting some wood and a piece of wood. Do you remember this? A piece of wood fell on his toe and he broke his toe. And he said he was limping around for a week or two. And then he said in the staff meeting, he goes, look at me now, like I'm walking around completely fine. And he said, the body heals itself. We don't know how necessarily it happens, but the body heals itself. The body of Christ is the same way. It's not an organization. It's a living organism. And when you're in it, there's healing and there's refreshment. And there are certain people in the body of Christ that you can be with that you really feel healing. And you don't really know, just like I cut my hand and next thing you know, it scabs over and then it heals completely. I don't know how my body did it. I didn't do anything for my body to do it. Yeah. It was just God has built us that way, that he's called us to be with the body of Christ. And when we're in the body, we do find that refreshment. If it is a activity of pleasing people, like I have to go to church and then I have to talk to people, I got to be social, I have to be all those sorts of things, and it's not necessarily spiritual, it can be a burden to people. And then people are seeing, oh, I got to go to church, I got to talk to people, I got to be with people. And that becomes a burden. That is people pleasing, and you will get burnt out from that. But if you can go to the church and you don't have to feel as though that you have to be social whatsoever, but you can just sit under the word. And I like it sometimes when I don't maybe necessarily just want to be talking to a lot of people, go find one person, maybe a person that you wouldn't normally go and be with, and just talk to them and ask them questions. The best way to have conversation with people is ask questions about that person, and they'll do all the talking. Mm. If I don't feel like doing any talking, go and just be with a person, and they can minister to you just listening to them. The devil wants us to see the church as something that we have to do in a social setting or activity. But if you can go to the church, you can be under the word, you can worship the Lord, and then you could be ministered to one or two people, you will find that when you leave, you'll be refreshed. Like last night, we're driving home, the kids are in the car, my wife's in the car. We're not saying so much to each other. They've had a long day, but we're just together. And I always leave. Always leave, and I feel refreshed. Physically, maybe tired, but spiritually, I feel very refreshed.
Yeah,
and that's what the body of Christ does. It gives us that. You go, oh, it's another thing I gotta do. Well, you just have it in your life, and you go by faith, and you do it, and you find that the Lord sustains you, and he blesses you above and beyond.
Yeah, I like that thought too, because if we come to the church without purpose in our hearts, like, you know, I work on campus. You know, I'm here 6 days a week. So, and sometimes, you know, you got a couple times on Sunday, a couple times Saturday. You come back, I come back for Bible school. So just the trip back and forth in my mind is like, oh, I'm headed to, you know, my truck automatically asks me when I get in, going to work.
Yeah.
You know,
isn't it crazy?
And I want to change the name work, because it's not really work. It's ministry, you know. But when you come here, and I would say you've experienced this for sure, I can assume, but even as a pastor, sometimes we're opposed in like where we're going or what we're doing. And you could show up at church and just go, don't talk to me, I'm just here. You know, I'm the principal of a school that has 220 parents that want to talk to me all the time. And I come into the church service, and I don't want to have conversations about church. I need the word. Like, you want me to be a good principal for your kids? Give me an opportunity to hear the word. Let me be built up, right? I have a staff who's with me. We need to be built up. And they could be saying, I just want a question, just one question, just one question. And I've really had to learn to say, could you come see me in my office during office hours? You know, or send me an email and we'll talk if you can't. Because church time, I need to be there. But also, I found many times when I'm in my heart, maybe a little reluctant or feeling a little bit tired, and I go and I just I'm quiet and I'm led by God, as you said, to people. I remember one day just talking to three or four very obscure people in my mind, like people that I wouldn't normally talk to, not that they're obscure, but
sure.
And all four conversations were so amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it just, I just said, God, you ordained that conversation before the foundation of the earth. Mm-hmm. And I would have missed it. Mm-hmm. Right. But thank you that you brought me here. And really the theology of rest is Matthew 11. Right. It's Matthew 11 and it's verses 28 and 30 where Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest and you will find rest for your souls. Mm-hmm. Right. We come and we come unto the Lord and it's in the body. It's in the prayer. It's in the word and we have fellowship with him. And then we start finding fellowship with people is amazing instead of a burden.
You have to think with the disciples, that was the first time that they had a Sabbath with Jesus. And it was probably the best Sabbath they ever had. Mm. Because the next thing you know, they're eating the corn.
Yeah.
And they're having a good time. And Jesus is saying, I created the Sabbath for you guys to be able to enjoy. Yeah. And they were thinking Sabbath day was like the worst day of the week for them.
Yeah,
their
I like
whole
that
entire
you said
life.
That. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden Jesus is showing what Sabbath day actually should be and its mm-hmm. enjoyment mm-hmm. of who he is. The other thing about being quiet, Pastor Carl Silva, I asked his wife Susie and I asked Andrew as well, like what would he do just to be able to get away? And he had a man in the church that had a place outside of Mumbai and he would go there for 2 or 3 days. He would just bring a notepad and a pen and he would just be there by himself for like 3 days.
Wow.
And I've always thought that like, well, that would be great. I've never done it yet, but I would like to, but he would get a lot of his vision in the sense of what they wanted to do in India during those times. Mm. I think environment change is a good thing because we can be so easily just going into routine. And then when you're in your routine, you have your same thoughts as well. Like you have routine thoughts. They say like 90% of your thinking on a day-to-day basis is just automatic thinking that you've always had. 10% is like original thought. But when you change your environment, now all of a sudden your perception is like completely aware to new surroundings.
Yeah.
And then that will give you maybe a little bit more creativity to be able to think outside of your normal thinking. And I think the Sabbath day and then also just a sabbatical, if it be a day, 2 days or 3 days, like my father's great because he's able to get away and his getaway is he'll go to a park and he'll sit at a bench and he'll just be with the Lord. But that changes the environment of your day to day. That gives you a level of quietness. It gives you a little bit easier way to have clarity of thought, like before the Lord. And I would say having a sabbatical, whatever it might look like, is different for everybody. But just to be able to have it, and the point of it is to be able to think with God in a fresh, creative way and allow him to be able to speak to you and minister to you. And if you have that discipline in your life that you can set that time up, that you can do that, it becomes very enjoyable. Because most of life is all internal. And if you can have internal creativity in your mind through the word and with the Holy Spirit and with Christ, it's very refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We could maybe summarize by saying there's a time to get in the closet. Right.
Yeah.
There's a time to withdraw to retreat somewhere for a few days and be built up, all with the mindset that we are being refreshed for the purpose that God has for us in our lives. So we're not replacing the purpose that God or taking vacation from it, mm-hmm. but we're refreshing it. Even our vacations can have purpose. We can have time alone with the Lord on the beach, reading the scriptures and watching the waves. I mean, what better way to understand?
They even say, like, you know how, like, we get, like, to go to the beach and stare out into the ocean?
Yeah.
They say, like, they've done, like, studies just in the sense of, like, different brain waves. And when you're in the state that you're completely relaxed, and one of the best ways that you can be completely relaxed in your mind is sitting and staring at the ocean because you're looking out into, a pointless sea. Like it's limitless in the sense of how far your eyes can be able to see, and then you hear the waves. And it's actually refreshing and it's good for us to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So again, it's like what we're just saying, it's different for everybody. But just try to build your life so that you do have structured in there the ability to do something, one, that you can enjoy, something that gives you a mental state that you're able to relax. Mm-hmm. And then also a place where you're able to like think clearly with the Lord.
Yes.
And you find that in that you get refreshed. And also, like, I just like the thought that I'm always resting for a purpose. I'm resting so I'll be prepared for the next phase and the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, these are great things. And these are you know, why we can continue in our daily life without being burnt out. You know, we're not burnt out because the source of the life that we have is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And we might get tired. We might get weary in the way,
mm-hmm.
but we don't get weary of the way,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is because of our relationship with Christ is paramount. And if somebody's out there listening today and saying, I just feel tired and I feel, you know, I don't have my mental thinking is mm-hmm. all over the place. I think a great place to start is just to be able to draw near to God
mm-hmm.
and to stir ourselves up in Him and to be, you know, built up in the most holy faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God, be around the body of Christ, be around people who encourage me that way. And just come and bathe in the message and hear the word of God and let it be applied to our lives. So these are amazing thoughts. I think we're running out of time here today, Pastor Justin, but, these are, you know, rest. Rest is something we can't do without. It's going to affect us physically, spiritually, and mentally, emotionally. These are things that God has a design for to give us rest, and its purpose is that we'd be the best. Have the best capacity to do the things that He's drawn us to do. And we're thankful for that.
Amen.
So good to be with
and
you.
And one thing just for the people listening, just for them, if you are struggling with depression and you're struggling physically and it's rooted in that your soul is low, just try to find somebody that can just bring some level of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that you're not alone, that there are people out there, even if you feel as though that no one's out there and they care for you or they know where you're at and they can't identify with you, just know that you have a high priest that's been afflicted with everything that you're going through right now, and there's other people in the body of Christ that have, and they can help you. And that you're not going to be there forever. You're not going to be stuck, but there is a way out of it. And God wants to bring you to a place that you can find rest in your soul.
Yeah.
And enjoy.
Amen.
Yep.
There remains a rest for the people of God.
Yep.
It's here today. So, all right, folks, thank you for joining us on this edition of the Grace Hour. And make sure you tune in regularly, daily, Monday through Friday, at the same time. If you're in the Baltimore area, come and see us.
Yes.
Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and also 6:30.
I'm tired. What are you just saying? All those different things that are going
on. It's a rest.